Okay, Romans chapter 8. I just got a thought that tonight from this verse. We're just going to preach this verse. So, and one thought out of the verse. Boy, there's a lot more in this that we could just dig into, but let's just look at this one thought tonight. Bear with me. I'm tired like you are. I had to sit in a chair and rest a little bit before we came. I just couldn't hardly go. But we're going to make it. We'll make it. We'll be in bed. How many of you are going to be in bed 2 hours from now? That's just 9:30. You know. You ain't going to make it that long. When you get home, you get to thinking about eating and all that, you'll get a second wind. So, let's read these verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is a verse, so I've just dwelt on this quite a bit for a while. That's a wonderful little sentence right there. For the earnest expectation of the creature, you're the creature if you're saved. That's what he's talking about, us. Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. There's some more. You just read the word of God and just sit and chew on it and dwell on it and think about what he's saying. And it's, my, God's left us here, but he didn't leave us here with no hope. Yes, sir. He just left us here to think on it and to work for him till he comes, to occupy until he comes. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the hope. And you can just keep adding adjectives to that. But that's what he's talking about here tonight. The manifestation of the sons of God. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Please bless it now and help us to break it as bread. And Lord, this is wonderful stuff for us. It's encouraging to our heart. It's the kind of things we need to think on once in a while. Instead of all this negative and darkness around us and all the way things are now, we've got a bright day to look forward to. When you're going to separate the sheep from the goats, and you're going to make it plain to the whole universe who belongs to you. Bless the time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Manifestation. It means the act of disclosing what is secret, unseen, or obscure. See, We judge one another by outward appearances. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. We go by how somebody lives their life, what they say with their mouth. We determine or we guess that they're really a child of God. That's about the best we can do is guess. We don't really know. You don't know. We don't know about one another, really. And we talk about it often. The evidence that we see, there's a lot of people that are lost. Most people are lost in the churches. Most people are not the children of God because the evidence is too strong against them. But the best we can do is just guess according to the evidence. Manifestation means discovery to the eye or to the understanding. The exhibition of anything by clear evidence. Display. You put it on display. That's, now, it's talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what we're our earnest expectation is. The moment when God makes it very clear who belongs to Him and who doesn't. It happens at the same time. There'll be a day when the sons of God will be disclosed and revealed and made known to everybody. The harvest of the earth will be complete. Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 through 34. And Jesus said, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king," with a capital K, "say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the same thing that he's talking about here, the manifestation of the sons of God. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels," in Matthew 13, "and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity in the kingdom of God." There's people in the kingdom of God doing iniquity. But he's going to separate them out, "and shall cast them into a furnace of fire." So, hell has no fire, huh? Liberal preacher, college theologian, hell don't have any fire? What does he say that he's going to do with them? He's going to cast them into a furnace of fire. Don't tell me that's figurative. Don't tell me that's some kind of allegory or something. That's not. That's fact. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." As Matthew 13, 43 through 41. What's it going to be like when the children of God, the sons of God, are manifested? They're going to be manifested because all that are not are going to be removed. What's it going to be like when there's nothing left but the children of God? See? "Then shall the children shine forth." Where do I see this? "Cast them in the furnace. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Matthew 13, verses 49 now through 50. "So shall it be at the end." This is Jesus talking, all of this. "At the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire." There it is again. "There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." A lot of people that's trusting in some kind of hocus pocus righteousness that's in heaven somewhere, but they ain't got none. You know, they live wicked lives and claim to be righteous because of some kind of imaginary imputed righteousness in heaven. They're going to be disappointed right here. He's going to separate. Did you see what it said there? He's going to separate the wicked from among the just. "Our God shall come," Psalm 50, "and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself." Selah. Verses 3 through 6. Psalm 50. So this is one of the themes of the Bible. The whole Bible. The Old Testament, New Testament, since the beginning, all the way to the end of this thing. This is the moment that everybody's waiting for. Earnest expectation. The manifestation of the sons of God. It's all over. When the wicked are separated away from the just, there'll be no more slander and accusations against them by the wicked. Think about it. The wicked are gone. All the things they do, all the things they say, all the things they affect, all that stops immediately because they're gone. Their influence is removed forever and absolutely, completely removed. They're gone. There'll be no more slander and accusations against the righteous by the wicked. All that'll be stopped forever. Not another critical, hateful, spiteful, lying word from them ever again. That ought to be enough right there to just shout her out the rest of the night about. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of their false accusations, of their blasphemous words and their hateful talk and their hate toward righteousness and anybody that even reminds them of it. I'll be glad when it's gone. Yes, sir. I'll be glad when I don't have to ever, for all eternity, ever even think about it, hear about it, be troubled about it, have to think about it ever again. They're gone. Ain't going to be none of that no more. There'll be no more hypocrisy and no more imposters posing as Christians who really are not. They're not going to be there. Ain't going to have to worry about the hypocrites. They ain't going to be there. They're gone. He's separating out. He's manifesting the sons of God. There'll be no more questions and confusion about who's really saved and who's not. So there'll be perfect peace and trust and confidence among everybody. Think about that. No more lying. No more wickedness at all. No more wicked people. So you can trust everybody. Think about that. You don't have to doubt anything. You don't have to wonder at all about anybody. Because everybody there is really saved. They're really a child of God. God has said so. God has received them and set them apart and brought them into their own place. There'll be no more burden to bear about those who are rejecting God and are lost. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes and all the former things will be passed away, so we won't be weeping for sinners anymore. We won't be weeping over the sin that is wrecking lives of loved ones. The sin that has stuck us in the heart, that we bled for and are bleeding for the sins of those around us, ain't going to have that no more. No more burden about that. Not going to be laying awake at night and thinking about it and praying and weeping because of the sins of others, because they ain't going to be nothing no more. They're gone. There'll be no more battles to fight in a wicked, corrupt world full of people who blindly hate God and righteousness. The opposition, the burden, the struggle will cease forever in a moment. The burden's gone. The fight's over. The war's done. Ain't no more battles. Ain't going to be no more fights. Ain't going to be no more pushing against righteousness. We just can't even begin to get our mind around that. No. I've not seen, ears not heard. Boy, that's some of it right there. Can't imagine what it'd be like to not have resistance. To not have this constant pressure from evil on our mind, on our heart, on our soul. No more wondering about the future and what's going to happen. No, ain't going to be wondering about the future. Ain't going to be worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, or a year from now, 100 years from now. All's peace. All's fixed. All's settled. Everybody is, it's the kingdom of love. Everybody really does love one another. Everybody loves God. Everybody loves righteousness. There are no wickedness. Are no wicked people and no wickedness there. There'll be no more battles to fight, and the reproach of the people of God will be taken away forever. They'll never more be blamed. They'll never more be the butt of their jokes. They'll never be despised and rejected. Never more. I mean, no wonder the earnest expectation of the creature is the manifestation of the sons of God. When is this going to be over? Soon. It's going to be over soon. Sooner than you think. Sooner than you imagine. This is where we're going to be standing. And I want you to remember, when we're standing there, I want you to remember that we preached about it this night. We looked at the scriptures. God told us right here how it's going to be. The day of grace and mercy toward sinful men will have ended. And the door of redemption will have closed forever. We know that. From where we're sitting right now, we know that. We know that the day of grace is about over. I mean, it's like we're on a journey and we're almost there. We're just almost there. You know how it feels when you travel a long, long ways and you're finally getting close to home. It's just like a burden lifts. It's just like you can make it. I can make it. It's close enough now. I'm just going to be in my own bed soon and I'll be at rest. The day of grace and mercy is about to end. It'll be over. God will openly reveal those who are His children and put them apart in their own place. And He'll stand with them. Remember what Jesus said? He'll say to them on His right hand, "Enter thou into the joy prepared for thee of thy Father. Come on in." Well, that's where He's going to. He's going to stand with us. He's going to be with us. He's going to set us apart. Ain't that something? He's going to separate the nations. Separate the nations. Think about that. The devil don't want to do that. He wants to do away with the nations and make it all one world. That's the opposite thing. God ain't doing that. God set the bounds of their habitations and He drew the boundaries of the nations. And that's the way it's going to be when we stand before God and we're judged. He's going to separate the nations apart from one another. And He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Goats over here. Sheep over here. And you don't get a choice then. You are what you are before you get there. You better be a sheep now. Better not be no goat sitting in a church pew. But, you know, that's what a goat says. Is that what you say? Is that your response to the Word of God, the truth, a challenge to forsake the world and live for God? Is that what your soul says? But. No, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And it ain't going to be no problem for Him to call His sheep out. We were reading the other night where the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. And that's everybody. Everybody's going to hear that voice. The universe will rejoice and the heavens will be glad when this moment arrives. Psalm 96 verse 11, "Let the heavens rejoice." And that is the context. You go to Psalm 96 and look, it's when God judges the world. It's when God judges and separates the wicked from the righteous. And the Bible says, "Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof." Another one says, "Let the heavens be glad." Oh yeah, the heavens are going to be glad. Heaven's going to rejoice. The whole universe is going to rejoice when this happens. The pain and the groaning will cease. It says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, waiting for the redemption, to wit, of the body. Waiting on this right here. When Jesus calls us out. And I mean when everything's about to wind up and it's all over. The whole universe is groaning in pain. But that groaning's going to stop. You ever wonder what it sounds like to God? The sound of the universe. You think He hears? Well, He heard the cry of Sodom. He heard Abel's blood crying from the ground. God hears things we don't hear. There's a sound going up. He hears the cry of His people. He heard it in Egypt. He still does. And He hears the groan of the universe waiting for this. Don't you think God's more anxious for this than we are? Don't you think He is looking forward to this more than we are? Of course He is. Don't blame Him for tarrying. He knows what He's doing. And He will do, in due time, He will do it. In the best time. when it will make this the absolute maximum best that it could possibly be, God will move it. I guarantee you, He'll say, go! This is our earnest expectation. It is our intense anticipation. If you think on it, if you believe, if you really, if this is your future, you think on this once in a while. I tell you, it'd do us a lot more good if we'd think on it a lot. When you got a headache, when you're feeling bad, when you're sick, when you're tired like everybody is tonight, think on these things. If that don't make you feel better, I don't know what would. Ain't no medicine or pill or tonic going to fix you like this will. It'll put a smile on your face and it'll make your heart dance. Yeah? Because it's just a little while. Remember what we talked about last week? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then he says this. See? That's what he's talking about. We live and move and have our being in this realm of our eternal existence with Christ. In Him we live and move and have our being. Well, it's not just in this cruel, painful, sorrow-filled world. No. This is where we look to. I'm thinking on this thing about being a pilgrim. And that's, you got, it all goes together, see? We're traveling toward this point, and we're earnestly anticipating and waiting for it. We wait, that is, we fully expect it. It's not a dream or a hope of something that's a possibility, but it's something that is sure. Now you see, you know if you're a child of God or not, because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with your spirit that you're the children of God. Here and now, in this present evil world, you have that assurance. God gives you that assurance. And it ain't based on some theory of man or some gimmick of man. I feel bad for so many people because I've heard it in Baptist churches all my life about that, where they stress the point, remember the day, remember the place, and boy, the devil tempts you. You can always go back to that place. If that's all you got, I feel real bad for you. And I'll tell you something else. If that's all you got, you ain't never going to have peace in your heart and assurance in your soul. You're going to have the witness of the Spirit in you. That's the only thing that gives you assurance. Every preacher in Missouri could tell you, I swear on a stack of Bibles, you're saved. That ain't going to give you assurance. They could look at your life and say, well, anybody live like you and do like you, they got to be saved. Your heart's still going to be troubled. Your heart still ain't going to accept if you're not really saved. The only thing that'll do it is when God, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with your spirit that you are His child. Yes, sir. And then all the demons of hell can't never shake you. We wait. It's something sure. And the only thing between me and eternity, that eternity of peace, is just a little bit of time. And that passes real quick, don't it? Just a little bit of time. That's all that's between me and that. Think about that. I may have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe. Maybe not. Jesus may come. Call me out of here before that. But either way, it makes no difference. It's close. It's not far, far away. It's not 100 years from now for me or for you. 100 years from now, there won't be none of us. 50 years from now, they probably won't be none of us. Some of the little ones, maybe. Maybe. I can't imagine this place being standing another 50 years, but I mean, look, I'm just trying to make you see that how short the time is. I can remember 50 years ago real good. Well, it ain't going to be 50 years for me. No, sir. So it's close. The anticipation. How in the world can't... Why would that not help somebody that is really saved and knows God? How in the world could they not be happy about that? Why would I cling and want to stay where life is nothing but pain and hardship and just drag and just when I've got that waiting for me? You can understand why these people in the nursing home, they get to the point where they just say, Lord, why do you leave me here? Why don't you just take me home? Lord, please. And they, everybody comes, they tell them, please pray, the Lord, just take me home. Well, I understand. I understand. If you really got a hope of this eternity, if this really is your earnest expectation, and it is, if you're a child of God, the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. Well, see what I mean? If you had your choice right now, where would you rather be? In heaven, where there's peace? Or here, where there's trouble and sorrow and pain? And it's a struggle every day you live. Well, the creature was made subject to vanity. Subject to vanity. See, there's so many messages in here. We're subject to vanity. We got to go to work. And work for measly few dollars so we can buy our bread and pay for our car and pay that light bill and the insurance. And it's vanity. It ain't going to mean a thing in eternity. And yet the time we have left here, this is what we got to do. He made us subject to vanity, not willingly. The sons of God don't want to be subject to vanity. They have higher aspirations, higher ambitions, higher things that they desire than to spend their life and their blood and sweat in this vanity. Yeah. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Well, we've got other business here to do besides work, make a living and all that. We got plenty of time to do that and do what God's left us here for. You know, these older folks, they get old and they want to go on home. And you know, I've always tried to tell them because I really believe this. God is not done with you, there's some reason that you're still here. You're still being subjected to vanity because it's Him that has that choice, not us. God's the one that makes that choice. He's the one that directs that in His wisdom. So you ought to live every day looking for what God wants you to do, looking for that opportunity. And when you complete your course, when you finish your course, if you fight a good fight and you finish your course, then you're done. That's what Paul said. He was done. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Now I'm ready to be offered. But until that time, keep on swinging. Keep on plugging. Keep on charging, marching. Subject to vanity. But he subjected us to the same vanity in hope. See, we ought to be happy doing what we've got to do in this world because we know that this is vanity. Do you realize that the people who are not the children of God, they don't see it that way at all? This is their life. Their life consists of vanity, and that's all. Their career, their retirement, all their money, their things they're trying to get and they're working for and their goals in life and all of that, that's their life. But we don't. We got higher hopes than that. Don't care a thing about the things of this world. Far as I'm concerned, I live in this world in a tent. Might as well be a tent. It ain't mine. I think about it every once in a while. I wonder who's going to be living here so many years from now. In my living room. My bedroom. Using everything that's here. That's mine. No, it ain't mine. I'm just using it for a little while. Somebody else is going to have it soon. But when you're not a child of God, you don't look at things like that. This is mine. It's mine. and it grieves you to think about leaving it. And somebody else polluting it with their own self and their life. One plants a bunch of trees, the next one comes along and cuts them all down. I got Seth right there. Wasn't even aiming at you, Seth, but I planted a bunch of trees on that place right across the road from you, and the next person had it, mowed them down with a lawnmower. After I'd took care of them and babied them and watered them and staked them and all that. That's the way it is. Don't drive your tent pegs too deep and hold real loosely to the things of this world. It's all vanity. God doesn't take a person home to heaven the moment they get saved. No, He don't. He just don't do that. He leaves us here in this mess, subject to vanity, and He has good reasons for doing so. As far as our preference, we'd rather go on and be with the Lord and be delivered from being subjected to this vanity just as soon as possible. The older you get, the more tired you get. The harder it gets to go on and on and on. The less vision you have for and dreams you have for building this and buying this and doing this. And you just get where, who cares? I'm not staying here. People build stuff and they say, well, that'll do till I'm done with it. Let the next guy worry about it. Well, I don't know if I agree with doing that way, because you ought to be thinking about the people that come behind you too. Try to make it as easy as you can on the people that come behind you, instead of leaving trash all over the place for them to stumble over and holes for them to fall in and trouble for them. Don't make trouble for them. It's real nice when you find things like her dad did, you know. You find things that he did anticipating his absence that made it easier. I remember Brother Parker quoting that poem so many times, about the bridge. He said, why are you building this bridge? You're old. And he said, well, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. Somebody's going to come along behind me. Yeah. And that's the way it is. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, let me read this. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, see there, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. There's that earnest desire again. Miss Parker told me the last time I talked to her up there, she said, I'm earnestly desiring. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, listen, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Parentheses. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So that earnest desire. Not to get out of this body, but just to be present with the Lord. Yes. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 21. There will be a day when we will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, that doesn't mean to me what it means to so many other Baptists. They think of that inward corruption and that sinful nature and all that. No, this is more than that. This is deliverance from the whole real thing. We'll be delivered from the from simply living in a sinful, filthy world, from the defilement of living here. We're going to be delivered from that. See, yanked out of the septic tank of the universe, cleaned into another world, another place. It's not like this at all. Delivered from the bondage of corruption, from seeing and hearing the filthy conversation of the wicked, from seeing and hearing their insane, perverted, corrupted ways, from the insecurity of our possessions in our life. You know, your house could be burning to the ground right now while you're sitting here. You have no promise, no security. I think about it every time we leave. Well, I wonder if it'll be here when we get back. That's terrible. But that's the way life is here. Going to be delivered from all of that. That insecurity and all of that. It's all corrupt. Life is just corrupted here. Every way. Everything is messed up. The sin has just cursed everything. All that's going to be done away with. Fixed. Because Jesus provided for all of that. See, we're glad and we marvel in the fact that He made atonement for our sin. But we don't understand the depth and the height and the width and the length of that. He fixed what He did, provided for the total redemption of the universe. Everything that was cursed and thrown out of whack by sin is going to be fixed. The heavens are going to sing. Well, I want to hear that. I want to hear what God hears when everything is right, the way He made it to be, the way He designed it, and what He had in mind when He did this whole thing before it got all messed up. Yeah, I want to hear that. Looking forward to it. It's part of the earnest expectation. From the calamity and loss that we suffer at the hands of others. Might go home, somebody done got in your house, stole everything. Happens all the time. Bunch of thieves. Somebody might steal your car. They might key your car. They might flatten the tires on your car. Bust the windows out. Vandals. You never know when you're going to come home. I just almost expect it. Every time I come here, every time I come home, no telling what you're going to find. Going to be delivered from the corruption of this world. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. No more bondage, because there will be no more sin. The glorious liberty of the children of God. Where there is no sin, there is perfect freedom and liberty. That's the way this thing works. They want to have freedom while everybody does as they please to everybody else. And you can't have freedom. That's bondage. When you cut sin loose, when you throw out all moral law, you put yourself into bondage, not freedom. Freedom is when everybody does right. Then everybody's free. You can come to church and leave your doors unlocked at home. You can go to bed at night with your door unlocked and your windows open. You can leave your stuff in the keys in your car. Ain't nobody gonna steal it. That's peace. That's freedom. But we don't live in a world like that, do we? Why? Because of sin. Because everybody's cut all the cords and thrown away all the landmarks. And everybody can sin freely now. Removed all the consequences. You can smoke dope. You can live in whoredom. Have an abortion. There's all kinds of gadgets and pills and things, and then there's abortion if none of that works or you're too lazy to do any of that. You can just do anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want, and nothing's going to happen to you. So, we got to lock our doors. We got to carry weapons. We got to watch over our shoulder all the time. That's bondage. You're going to be delivered from this into the glorious liberty. Can you imagine? No, you can't imagine. Can't imagine what he's saying there. Glorious liberty. America's always touted this thing about freedom, and that's the call of every crusader and every ambitious politician in the world is promises freedom. Freedom. Boy, that's a word. Let freedom ring. Boy, everybody's, that's a word. It's a magic word that everybody loves. Ain't nothing like this. The glorious liberty of the children of God. Free. Free at last. Free from the corruption of this world. Free from every wicked person and all the wickedness that has soiled everything. Nothing to dread or fear, because all is love and light everywhere. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. So, well, I'm not afraid. Yeah, you are. You could die. Maybe you're not too afraid of your own self of dying, but what about your children? What about your spouse? You fear that. You worry about it. You're concerned about it. We went to back out a while ago, and Elizabeth's putting the kids in the car. And, you know, I just, you got to watch. Watch. Don't, you know. You can't let something like that happen. It's always on your mind. That's the way the world is, full of death, full of destruction, corruption. And we're not free because of it. We're always in fear and always watching and always like the deer in the woods. It's just, that's the way we are, too. Because there's so much danger from all the corruption and the sin in the world. About done. No more groaning, because there will be nothing to groan about. And that's why heaven is called glory. Yes, sir. Why don't you just sit around and think about this once in a while? Why don't you just get to feeling kind of tired, down and out, and defeated? Why don't you just go here in Romans chapter 8 and read this? Oh, there's a bunch more here. You talk about waxing eloquent and about the promises and the wonder that's ahead of us here. Paul did here in the last Romans chapter 8. He just keeps going. It's just like he's just having a glory fit while he's writing this. I bet he did. But it's true. It is the truth. Like we've been talking about on Sunday morning. It's the truth. This is reality. This world's insane. They believe in aliens from outer space and Bigfoot and ghosts. This is the reality. This is the truth. It's my earnest expectation. I hope it's yours. And if it ain't, you better get on board. Because the train's leaving pretty soon. The ship's about to sail. Better get aboard. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the wonderful promises. How it cheers our heart. And helps us. Gives us strength to get up and go a little farther. It's waiting. It's not far off. It's a little bit of time. And most likely, less time than we're thinking right now. And we'll be there. We'll be at that moment. We'll be standing there. Lord, I pray everybody here will be on that right side. Lord, please, work in hearts of our loved ones, our family, all of everybody that's in the church here, please, that none would be lost. Please work in our hearts and lives. Help us to be faithful while we're here. And help us to just walk with you and stay with you until this thing's over. In Jesus' name, amen.